You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty, and it's time for our weekly check-in with Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. And we're looking at President Trump's visit to the American Center for Mobility at Willow Run in Ypsilanti and talking about fuel economy standards and greenhouse gas emission standards. And Daniel, you say the president didn't roll back the tougher fuel economy standards that were set in 2011. So what did and didn't happen yesterday?
Well, what didn't happen was the environmental apocalypse that I think some people are already saying is upon us. What the president did is basically revive a deal that the Obama administration made with the automakers about 5 years ago that said that they would do a review of market conditions, technological advancement in 2017 and 2018 with an eye towards the three-year period of 2022 to 2025. Obama administration, right before leaving office, said, you know what? We don't need that review. You guys are doing great. Forget it. Let's move on.
Okay.
They've screamed bloody murder, said this is not right. This isn't fair. There's a lot of things that you need to understand about what's happening in the marketplace and what's not happening in the marketplace. And the administration said, not interested. What the Trump administration is doing is saying, okay, let's do that. Let's revive that process and take into account the market realities, the fact that small car sales are collapsing in the United States, the take rate for electric vehicles is only about 3% of sales, the fact that gasoline prices are closer to $2 a gallon than they are $4 a gallon, and the conventional wisdom is that that's going to continue for some time to come, and all of that has an impact in the marketplace. So you've got companies that, yes, are making record profits in the United States, but they're also, in case of Fiat Chrysler, killing car production because demand is collapsing. General Motors is idling shifts in small car plants. Ford is taking its compact production to Mexico because there's better uses for those plants in the United States.
When we talk about those smaller and more traditional cars that buyers don't want, that aren't selling like the trucks and SUVs, why don't the automakers just put that technology, the electric and the hybrid, on all of those big vehicles that consumers want?
Well, they do. You know, you can get a hybrid Chevy Suburban, for example, or a Yukon or a Tahoe. That's gettable. But they tend to cost more, not always. One of the things that manufacturers have tried to do is basically say, okay, you know, there is no premium for getting a hybrid Ford Fusion, for example, versus a regular gas Fusion. They've tried to address that in the marketplace, but I think people are somewhat suspicious of the technology. Mm-hmm. They understand the traditional gasoline engine, and gas is cheaper, and therefore the cost of ownership, as they look at it, is low.
But we should say, just because it's cheaper now doesn't mean, with the way the world is, that those oil prices can't ricochet right back up and everybody be crying at the pump as they're filling their SUV.
Yeah, but the one variable that has changed is as American energy production. The United States has become one of the largest energy producers in the world, and it has had a dramatic impact on oil markets and oil prices around the world. And I don't think anybody expects that that's really going to turn around and change, particularly under this administration.
Daniel, why should companies' bottom lines be more important than reducing our dependence on foreign oil, keeping the atmosphere protected and preserved, because it's the only environment this Earth's ever going to get? I mean, the greater good over a bottom line and profits.
I don't think this is just about profitability. I mean, I think it's about a lot of variables. I mean, you know, you're asking companies to build vehicles that nobody's going to buy. You know, these companies were criticized fiercely during the bailout discussions for paying workers not to work. And so now you're going to expect them to build products that nobody's buying. One of the things that's happening here that I don't think people fully understand is these companies are really looking at walking away from entire segments of the market because of the world that they're now operating in. Profitability is important, and you need capital to run. And if investors don't want to invest in you because they don't think it's a good return and you're not going to show growth, guess what? They're not going to invest in you. And so what you're raising, and the environmental aspects are important, no question about it. And I think if you talk to the people at these companies, they will tell you that. You know, this is not the auto industry of the 1960s. Very important point here. These are not the people that said, we can't put catalytic converters on cars because it'll put us out of business. We can't put seatbelts in cars because it'll put us out of business. That is not the kind of people that are running these companies. This industry is very much driven by technology. It's driven by a push towards electrification. It's driven by a push towards autonomous and self-driving cars, all of which have major impacts on the profitability of the companies, but also on achieving some of the same things that the environmental lobby wants to achieve. Emissions-free driving, for example. that is being driven by other parts of the world, particularly that are huge market draws, like China, mm-hmm. like the European Union. That's not going to go away. So whatever happens in this mid-cycle review, and frankly, I've talked to ranking executives who say, look, we're not asking anybody for a rollback here. All we're saying is let's go back into this process that we agreed on and let's look at the market conditions as they exist, not as you want them to be. And you can't assume a rate of electrification of 10% in the marketplace when the actual rate is 3%. That's a huge gulf, right? Mm-hmm. And you can't assume that gas is going to be $4 a gallon because it was in 2011. Well, it's not now. And the likelihood that it's going to go back to $4 a gallon is probably not really good under normal market conditions. Now, if you have an exogenous shock or something in the Middle East, that's a different kettle of fish. But I think those are the questions that they're looking at. These companies, the other thing this person said to me is, we're betting big on electrification in our company. That's not going to change, regardless of what happens, regardless of how many pickups we sell in the United States. That's not going to change because that strategy is important for a lot of other parts of the world, which is also important for the growth of the companies.
So, and as you point out in your column today, you say you're among the first to say this is not a binary either or choice. It's both.
That's exactly right. And they have to do both.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. As always, thanks, Daniel.
Thank you.